Now, this morning, in the time that we have left, I wanted to direct our thoughts and our attention toward Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving Day. It's a wonderful holiday. It's simple. No presents. Few decorations. Less distractions. And I'll use ladies say, yeah, it's simple for you because you're not doing the cooking. I went shopping yesterday. I bought the turkey and a lot of stuff. You know, I hunted and gathered, brought it home. But it's a simple day, a simple time set aside to count our blessings, to consider just how blessed we truly are, a time to feast. And there is a time to feast, to celebrate. A time to feast and celebrate and give thanks to God for his many blessings to us. But for some, Thanksgiving presents a little bit of a challenge. If I'm thankful, then that somehow implies that I have someone to be thankful to, who has given me these blessings for which I am thankful. If I am thankful, then I have someone to express this thanks to. And increasingly, some people, it seems, are thanking themselves. Consider this tweet from rapper Kanye West. I'm sure you all keep up with Kanye. He says this, "Is it Thanksgiving yet? Because I'm thankful for myself and I want to show it." Cool. Others are challenged by Thanksgiving for ideological reasons. Minnesota State Senator Dan Hall wrote this insightful observation about Thanksgiving and the difficulties it poses both to liberals and conservatives alike, but for different reasons. He writes this. He says, "Thanksgiving is becoming a 21st century embarrassment. This holiday implies recognition of a higher power. It takes us out of the driver's seat and portrays us as recipients, dependents. In a society where the political left can be slow to acknowledge God and the right can be slow to acknowledge dependency, Thanksgiving presents us with an uncomfortable challenge. Thanksgiving Day encourages us all to slow down for a moment and acknowledge God and acknowledge our dependence upon Him. And that is a very helpful and beneficial exercise any time of the year, to acknowledge God and our utter dependence upon Him for all things, for all that we have, and for our futures. This morning, I want us to briefly, but I believe convincingly, see why it is that we as believers should be the most thankful people on the planet. And secondly, why believers can give thanks in all circumstances and for all things. And as we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to teach us this morning. Lord, we thank You for a trip to Mexico City, for the wonderful blessing it was to be there and to see what You're doing, to see the church making a difference in the lives of the people there in La Roma neighborhood of Mexico City. Thank You for the Smiths. Thank You for Sam as they minister and partner together in reaching out to the people there in Mexico City. Lord, it can be an overwhelming task as you see so many passing on the street, recognizing that most of them don't know You. Most of them are probably religious in one form or another, but most of them don't know You. Most of them don't understand the freedom that can come in trusting in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, what You have done for us is great indeed. You've done for us what we could never do for ourselves. You've freed us from sin, the bondage of sin, and from the fear of death. Lord, we pray for them as they continue to work, as they continue to serve, that You would bless the church in La Roma. Lord, that Your gospel would go forth, and that you would continue to use us to be an encouragement and a support to the Smiths and to Sam there in Mexico City. Lord, teach us today from your word about thanksgiving, the importance of it, the essential nature of it, how it's related to our worship of you, how it's related to our humility, and how it's related to the eternity that we will spend together in constant thanksgiving and unceasing praise to you who are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first this morning, very simply, I just want us to see together that we should be the most thankful people on the planet. We as Christians should be the most thankful people. As Christians, we understand that God is the great giver of all things, of all that we have. He is the giver of all good gifts. James chapter 1 and verse 17, and if you'd like to, you can turn there. James 1:17, we're going to be in several different places in the scriptures this morning. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is good, and he's good all the time. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We say that from time to time as a congregation. And that's a good reminder. There's no change in God. There's no shifting shadow. He doesn't morph or transform. He's always good. And he's the giver of all good gifts. Everything that you and I have in our lives, everything that we can point to, whether it's life or food or shelter or clothing or friendships or family or work, employment, all of it comes from God's good hand. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And he is always good and only does good. God gives us from his hand what we need to survive. He gives us food and shelter and clothing. And it's easy to take these things for granted, for most of us have always had them. In fact, he gives all creatures everything that they need. Psalm 145 says this, the eyes of all look to you, God, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Whether humanity acknowledges it or not, every good gift comes from God. Right down to every meal that we eat, it comes from his good hand. That's why we as Christians, we give thanks before we eat. Why? Because we're acknowledging in that simple act that this has come not by our own, merely by our own hard work, but by God's good provision. For if it wasn't for him, we would not have hands with which to work. Were it not for him, we would not have breath in our lungs. Were it not for him, we would not have what is necessary in this life. But God gives us so much more beyond the bare necessities, doesn't he? He gives us relationships. He gives us family and friends. He gives us the beauty of sunrises and sunsets, the breathtaking beauty of the natural world all around us. He gives us health, and even the very air that we breathe is a gift from his good hand. And while the world should be thankful to God for his good gifts, we know that it not always is. Romans 1:21 explains the reason for this. It explains that one of the reasons and results of unbelief is a failure to give thanks to God. You want to know whether a person is set in their unbelief or not? They'll exhibit a lack of thanks to God for what they have. This thanklessness ultimately stems from pride and an unwillingness to acknowledge God and our dependence upon him. It's a delusion to think that we are self-sufficient, self-sustaining. But as Christians, we know the great gift giver. We know him and we love him. And therefore, we should be among the most thankful people alive. God is our loving Father. And as our loving Father, he knows how to give good gifts to his children. We have so many reasons to be thankful today. Even thankful for those things which at first glance don't seem to be blessings. Consider this list from Chelsea Lee Smith. When she was reflecting on the temptation to complain about the challenges and demands of being a mother and the many household chores that go along with it, she wrote this: I am grateful for early wake-ups, which equals children to love. I'm grateful for a house to clean, which means I have a safe place to live. I'm grateful for laundry, which means I have clothes to wear. I'm grateful for dirty dishes, because that means I have food to eat. I'm grateful for crumbs under the table, which means that there are family meals taking place. I'm grateful for shopping to do, because that means I have money to spend. I'm grateful for toilets to clean, because that means I have indoor plumbing. Don't take that for granted. I'm grateful for lots of noise. That means there are kids having fun. I'm grateful for endless questions, because that means there are kids who are learning. And finally, she says, I'm grateful for getting into bed sore and tired, because that means I'm still alive. Even in those things that may seem difficult to thank the Lord for, we have reason to give thanks, don't we? And of course, as Christians, the greatest reason we have for being thankful is the gospel itself. The greatest gift ever given by our great gift-giving Father was, of course, the gift of his own Son. The priceless gift of God's very own Son, Jesus Christ. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's gift would be great even if we were wonderful. Even if we were obedient children of the Father, but we know that we're not. That makes the greatness of the gift all the more amazing when we consider our own rebellion and sin against God. When you consider what we truly deserve and yet what God has provided for us, that makes the gift all that much more magnificent. One of the reasons we can struggle to give thanks at times is that we forget what it is that we truly deserve. We deserve, as sinners and rebels, all of us, we deserve God's immediate and eternal judgment. But yet, by God's good hand, we receive instead grace and forgiveness and blessing and glory and eternal joy and eternal inheritance. You see, all of us, I believe, have a tendency to think that we are, well, entitled. Entitled to more than what we actually have. We have an attitude of entitlement. I really deserve better. I deserve more. And this entitlement attitude will always produce discontentment and envy and complaining and grumbling and greed and an overall lack of thanksgiving. We have a tendency to think, no matter how much we may have, that we deserve just a little bit more. And for our lives to be just a little bit better than they actually are. And this is like a dagger to the heart of thanksgiving. And the root of this discontent and this lack of thanksgiving is always pride. I deserve more. I deserve better. Why should I have to struggle the way that I struggle? Why is there always so much month left at the end of the money? If we, on the other hand, think about what we truly deserve, if we consider how patient and loving and gracious God has been to us despite our sin and rebellion and the offenses and our failures, this has the effect of humbling us. And once humbled, we will quickly realize just how many reasons we have to be thankful. As Christians, the gospel serves as the ground and source for all our thanksgiving. For the very reception of the gospel requires humility. It requires a confession that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. That I can't save myself. That no amount of works righteousness will do it. If I had an eternity to do good deeds, they would never amount to enough to pay the debt that I owe to God, a holy God. This humbling has the effect of softening our heart and opening our eyes to all the ways that God has been good and gracious and patient and loving and merciful to us. As Christians, we should be the most thankful people of all because we realize that we are the most blessed people of all. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And because of the gospel, we are thankful. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful for what Christ has done in your life? Are you thankful for how the countless ways God has provided and been gracious and patient and merciful to you? Count your blessings. Thanksgiving is a great time to do that. Next, I want you to see why believers can give thanks in every circumstance. Not only why believers should be the most thankful of all people, but why we as Christians can give thanks in every circumstance. For some of you this year, Thanksgiving and Christmas are going to be difficult. Maybe because you've lost a loved one this year, and this will be your first Thanksgiving without them. Maybe because you've lost a job and you're faced with a lot of uncertainty. Maybe because you or a loved one have become ill. Maybe some other significant trial has come into your life and you're in the middle of it. You're going through it. And these difficulties can all make it seem impossible to have joy or to be thankful. It's as though these trials come into our life and they cast a cloud over everything. They touch everything. The Bible tells us, though, that we can be thankful in every circumstance. And it even goes further and says that we should be thankful in every circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it very frankly and very straightly. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, in every circumstance, every situation, give thanks. For this is God's will. You want to know God's will for your life? Be a thankful person. Acknowledge God and acknowledge your dependence upon Him. Humble yourself and realize all the ways He's been gracious to you, even in the midst of the difficulties. Give thanks in every circumstance, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Even when we acknowledge our dependence upon the Lord, oftentimes we go to the Lord and ask Him for things, but fail to be thankful in the midst of that. Thankful that we can even pray to Him. Thankful that He hears our prayer. Thankful that He is the God of all wisdom and knows what is best. Thankful that even when we receive a no or a not now answer, that we can rest in His sovereign and good, gracious hands. How do we do this? How can we be thankful for the death of a loved one? How can we be thankful for cancer? How can we be thankful for a lost job or a wayward child? Well, God is certainly not calling us to be masochists, to take delight in the difficulties of this life. God doesn't call us to love pain. God doesn't call us to love death. Death is an intruder. Death is the enemy. God doesn't call us to embrace and love that which brings discomfort or grief into our lives. But He does call us to acknowledge that in all things, at all times, He is in control. And that He is good, and that His plans, all of them, are always working for our good. And yes, I'm going to Romans 8:28 for that. It's a verse that has comforted Christians for millennia. And it's a verse that ought to always be close to our hearts. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Yes, even in the loss of a loved one. Yes, even in that test result that comes back positive. Yes, even in the painful, heart-wrenching experience of a wayward child, we know that God is causing all things to work together for good. We can't always see it. We can't always explain it. We can't always unravel the mix of things that God is doing and see clearly how it all results in good. But we trust God. We trust Him because we know He is good, and He always and only does what is good. And because we know that, we can be thankful and give thanks in every circumstance. John Piper has said that God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of 3 of them. You realize that? I think he's right on. God is always doing 10,000 different things in your life, and you're maybe aware of 3 of them. And if I can just change that just a little bit, in all of the things that happen in your life, God is orchestrating His good and perfect will. He's doing thousands of different things in every event that happens, things that are undiscernible to us, untraceable by us. But He is active and at work, and His perfect plan is being worked out in your own life, even in your suffering and grief and pain and loss. We cannot see all the things that God is doing. But if we know Him, if we know Him as He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures, then we can know that everything that happens is God's good and perfect will, and that all that happens will result in our good and His glory. And for that, we can always give thanks. Thanks to a God who is sovereign over our circumstances. Thanks to a God who is always working for our good. Amen? We should remember, too, that Thanksgiving Day is just a foretaste of things to come. For all eternity, we are going to be praising and giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Revelation for a picture of this, a beautiful, majestic picture of our future. Thanksgiving Day will be every day in eternity. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12. This great vision given to the Apostle John of things to come. John records this revelation in chapter 7 and verse 12. And he records this great multitude that have gathered and that are singing praises to God. And verse 12 says, Amen. This is the chorus that's sung in heaven. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. When we give thanks to the Lord, we are singing along with the saints who've already preceded us. When we give thanks to the Lord, we are seeing through a glass dimly, but then we'll be singing face to face. We'll understand more clearly why it is we can give thanks in every circumstance. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne, ruling and reigning. And all of history is moving forward with one intent, that Jesus Christ would be praised for all eternity, that Jesus Christ would be thanked by all people everywhere, every tribe, tongue, and nation gathered around the throne. Turn back to Revelation 5 for another picture of this. Revelation 5, verse 11. John says, Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, meaning you can't count them all. Picture the greatest crowd you've ever seen assembled in one place, and that's not enough. Verse 12, and they were all saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. All things are headed toward the praise of Jesus Christ. That's where this whole story of earth ends. It ends with the beginning of universal praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you giving him that praise today? Are you giving him the thanks he deserves today? The thanks you will render for all eternity? I wonder today if you could say with confidence that you're a Christian. That you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven. Not because of how good you've done or how hard you've tried. Not because you're hoping that on judgment day the good of your life will outweigh the bad. Not for any of those reasons, but because you recognize you are helpless before a holy God. That your sins are great. That your sins are far greater than you could ever erase with your own efforts and attempts at self-justification. And you've recognized that Jesus Christ has paid it all. That Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and went to the cross and died on your behalf. Have you done that? Have you placed your faith in Christ alone, believing that God will forgive you on the basis of His Son's perfect sacrifice? You have reason to give thanks for God's indescribable gift. He sent His Son to die for you. That means He loves you immensely. And He offers you forgiveness and salvation and eternal life by trusting in His Son. What a great time of year as we head into the Christmas season to commit your life to Christ, to repent of your sins and trust in Him to save you, and know what it means to pillow your head at night, knowing that if you don't wake up, the next morning you'll wake up in glory because Jesus paid it all for you. Beloved, we have every reason to be the most thankful people in all the world, and we can be thankful in any and every circumstance because our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is on the throne, and He is always and only working out His perfect purposes in our lives, and we can trust Him, and for that, we can be thankful indeed. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are a grateful people today. And yet we know our thanks is often lacking. We are tempted toward an entitlement mentality, a sense of I deserve more, I deserve better. And we know this is the enemy of a thankful heart. And we know that it's evidence of pride in our hearts. So humble us today as we consider what we truly deserve: immediate judgment, eternal wrath. Humble us as we consider how You've treated us instead with Your unmerited favor, Your great grace, grace upon grace, waves of grace in our lives, unceasing grace. We thank You, Father, for Your great and good gift. We thank You for the greatest gift, the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the forgiveness that has brought to us, for the change in perspective, for opening our eyes, for changing the course of our lives, for setting us on a new path that leads to a new destination. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for the gift of salvation. We thank You for how that changes our perspective on every other thing in life. Lord Jesus, be honored today, this week, and throughout the year as we humble ourselves, as we exalt Your name, as we acknowledge our dependence upon You for everything that we have and for all that we are. We thank You, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.